South Africans doing great things.
Leslie Mugwada is my guest, and she is founder of The Chemistry Solutions, and she joins me now on the line. Leslie, so good to have you on the show, and thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much, Aubrey, for having me. How are you doing?
I'm well. All the better for having you on the show. Wish you had come to studio so that we could feed off of each other's energy. But, you know, technology is okay.
Yes.
Talk to me about the Chemistry Solutions company and how you came to be a founder of this company.
So, you know what happened, Aubrey? In 2018... I was still working as an environmental chemist, doing bio remediation of heavy metals, cleaning up the water, you know, from all those heavy metals and microbial contaminants. And I realized quickly there wasn't a solution that people could use that was on the market to actually test their water for home use or for their businesses without having to spend a lot of money. So that's how it came to be. And immediately we went into product development and we made the first prototypes of our product. And a year later, we were on the market and trying to figure out exactly what is it that people actually need. So ever since then, we have worked to improve the product so that we have a product that people actually need and can improve the quality of people's lives.
What is it, what is the product and what does it do?
So we have developed this water testing kit. What our kits do, they allow you to monitor the bacteria, E. coli and coliform bacteria, and also the chemistry of the water. For instance, if you suspect you have nitrates in your water or heavy metals such as lead, chromium, copper, mercury, for instance, our kits allow you to actually determine if the water is actually safe or not safe to use and drink. And so that protects people from being exposed to harmful contaminants that can kill them and harm them in the long term.
So by training, you're a chemist?
Yes, I am.
Where did you study?
So I studied at the University of the Free State.
Yeah?
So, yes. So I completed my master's in polymer science at the Kokwa campus in Putadijava. And I did my undergrad also at the University of the Free State, specializing in chemistry and biochemistry.
Wow. Liz!
Yeah.
Yeah? So tell me why? Why the interest in chemistry? Where did that come from?
To some extent, I would say it's the only thing that actually made sense. To me, believe it or not, I used to sleep in a geography class. Math was very difficult for me. I still can't really do polynomials. But chemistry made a lot of sense. And when you come to look at life and everything that exists, it's made out of molecules. It's made out of atoms. So it made sense for me to pursue it and specialize in something that literally applies in everything, in our everyday life.
Sewage?
So it made sense to be able to study chemistry because everything is made out of atoms, you know?
Okay.
So in my mind, it made sense.
Okay. But so really, you were driven by the fact that chemistry is a logical subject. It makes sense. It's practical. It deals with real everyday life issues of human beings.
Yes. And if you look at, for instance, that's how we came to derive our motto as a business, chemistry solutions for everyday life. Technically, everything that you have, whether you're using plastic, that's chemistry that you're using.
Yeah.
Whether you're using metals, that's chemistry that you're using. You're driving your car, the fuel burning, that's chemistry that you're using. So it's technically an integration of our everyday life.
Yeah. And I suppose it means that there was a need, I suppose, at some level in you to find solutions for everyday life.
Yes. And one of those issues for me growing up is facing constant water challenges, having no water being available, having a couple of days, having to look for water, having to waiting for trucks to deliver water for us to have access to drinking water. And on top of that, having to worry about the quality of the water. So for me, that was one of the challenges I decided to tackle and put my efforts on and developing technology for, so that we have something at least that can help. It's not the whole solution, but it solves part of the problem.
Where did you experience these traumatic sort of realities of having to wait for water and worrying about the quality of the water if it does ever arrive? Where did you encounter this challenge?
So part of my childhood, I spent in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And we were accessing water. So Zimbabwe started having water challenges from 1998.
Yes.
And it was availability, and then it became quality because there was no water treatment. And one key moment in my life was when we had to use a well to fetch water, those wells that you pull up with a string, with a bucket, and we just dug out a very big frog from there.
Oh, my word.
And not only a frog, somebody's used towel that had been growing mold in there. So those issues drove me really to a reality that we really need sustainable, clean, safe water sources for everybody. And then having lived in Harrismith, where we have intermittent water availability. And in those times, there's a period of time where the water quality was really, really bad. And you had to buy water for you to make sure you have actually safe water. And knowing that not everyone can afford water, that was one of those things that broke my heart.
It continues to be an African reality, Leslie, that we need to address, not only here in South Africa, but across the continent. The issue of water and the quality of water continues to be something that is trauma, that is traumatic, right? And so you go and you study and you become a chemist and you learn how to find these metallic presence in water, these organic presence in water. And so what does the product do other than show you that maybe there's something in there that ought not to be there? How do we then deal with the fact that sometimes we find certain impurities in our water that that we'd like to not have there?
So one of the things that we've also done is knowing that just knowing your water quality isn't enough, is we have developed water treatment modules that one can use, whether at a commercial scale or the household scale. And this actually allows you to treat and remove all kinds of contaminants. So that ranges from odors, smells, color, and then organic compounds that are dissolved in water. And then also removal of ions that are in excess. For instance, excess calcium or magnesium that can cause problems health-wise, and also for your household, your buildings, damages, it causes all kinds of problems. And so we have developed tools that people can actually use to be able to correct that challenge that we face.
You sound to me like you're very young, Leslie, and I'm going to let you decide whether you're going to tell me how old you are. You sound to me like you're very young, and I want to ask you a question. If you're happy to tell me how old you are.
I'm not that young, but I'm 32.
that's young enough.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand where the discipline and the presence of mind to stay the course, to study, having had the experiences you had in Zimbabwe where you were born, then in Harrismith where you lived, and then further on, to stay the course with all of the various challenges that might be there, the various what's the right word? Temptations that might be there for a young person. How did you stay the course to study to the point where you are now doing bo masters and what?
So one of the things I really want to appreciate my parents, because I came from a good home where there was discipline and a good structure, and were encouraged to focus in school. Ever since we're in primary, we're encouraged to continue studying all the way up until masters. So my parents play a huge part in that discipline. And also from my own side as well, I'm a very driven person in terms of my character. I'm a person, I have a dream for Africa. I love Africa.
Yeah.
And it's I want to see Africa develop and improve. And some of the issues that we're currently dealing with, we shouldn't be having at this point in time, particularly at the stage of our liberation from colonialism.
Yep.
And
yep.
all the circumstances. Yep. So I have a really strong drive for us. I believe we're the only people that can actually solve our own problems. And if we don't take action, no one else is going to do that for us. So that I guess that's where most of the drive comes from. And also having had support, for instance, now as part of the GSIP program from the Technology Innovation Agency, where we had really good mentors that guided us, you know, in the process. And so having those kind of systems, support systems, does help a lot for one to stay focused and for one to stay driven.
I can agree with you more that there are problems we shouldn't be experiencing. Least of those being impure water. And very often at a political level, it makes those that were anti the liberation process find a way to argue against it and point at us and say, yeah, you see, you give these people power and look at what they do with it, you know? And often it's basic things like water, things that we should have really by now have sorted out. Your solution seems to not only serve large organizations and but also homes. Talk to me about the application of your product and your solution for homes specifically. And I ask this, by the way, Leslie, because as you know, that we are having a bit of a water crisis in the country at the moment. I argue that it isn't a crisis of the availability of water, although that is a consideration, because South Africa is a semi-arid sort of country. But mine is one that bewails the fact that we haven't maintained the infrastructure that ought to bring the water to us, however scarce it might be. So for homes that are starting to feel the reality of more and more intermittent water availability, but more importantly for townships and rural areas that have not enjoyed the promise of the new South Africa, and that they still drink with cows, they still, you know, what does that solution do for those people?
Believe it or not, when we designed our solution, we literally, our focus was actually on those people, because we were thinking, okay, if you look at the cost of a water test right now, for you to determine if the water is safe or not safe to drink using expensive laboratory equipment, that cost you at least 4,000 rand. And my thought was, how can someone who's probably in a rural area determine their water, how safe it is to drink or to use, and at a low cost? So that was actually the drive for us to develop our kits. And so particularly, for instance, our 25-in-1 water testing kit, we had that in mind, because, you know, so part of our clientele is people that are in rural areas, people that are using water from the rivers, from the dams. And it has made a significant impact on those, some of those people's lives, you know. Because now, before, they didn't have solutions to actually monitor the water quality. And the most interesting thing, which is very sad, unfortunately, is, yes, the water availability has improved because you're standing just over about 80% water being available across South Africa, right?
Yeah.
But of that 80%, you see that at least 70% of water service providers, this includes municipalities and private water service providers, 70% of them don't comply with the chemical safety requirements. And over 50% of them don't comply with your microbial safety requirements. And hence we had a scenario just recently where we lost a lot of people died due to cholera,
yeah,
which shouldn't have happened at all. Especially in this day and age,
yep.
So there's quite a lot of, I would say, a need for awareness for people to actually know that there is some solutions that are available for them to be able to actually
that are available to them, almost over the counter, like, right? So in other words, to be able to deal with all of those toxicities in water. Without having to have a huge water plant, is what you're saying to me.
Exactly. And one of the solutions that we're even working on at the moment is, if you look at the current systems that we have, most water treatment systems are designed for someone who is running water.
Mm-hmm.
That is a plumbing system. So what we're currently actually working on now is a solution that actually accommodates whether you're drinking water from a bucket or from a river or from a dam. The solution that we're currently creating now is allows everyone to have access to clean water and to be able to treat their water without having to need plumbing or any fancy equipment or expensive setup. So we're making sure that everybody at least has access to clean and safe water.
Look, the big conversation in the process of providing drinkable water in a world that is finding that is becoming more and more difficult is the conversation around desalination.
Yes.
I see that some of the countries in the Middle East, specifically in the Arab world, seriously looking at that. They've got the funds, but I've always been told that it's a prohibitively expensive process, right? That and I know why people tend to think about it, because I'm exactly the same. We've got the oceans. Why aren't we changing that water, desalinating that water and then drinking from it? How far are we from that solution becoming a reality? And I'm asking that question, Leslie, because you're obviously thinking about purification of water, cleaning of water, making water accessible so that we can drink it.
Yes.
Do you think about the desalination process, and how far are we from changing the Indian and the Atlantic Ocean into a big big reservoir that we can drink from?
You know, I'm actually laughing that we're surrounded with so much water, and yet we're not using that.
Precisely.
So you know, one of the challenges, unfortunately, when it comes to desalination, there is a need for use of energy, and already we're in an energy crisis.
So you don't say.
So that means all those things are interconnected, right? So that means with an energy crisis, it also limits now some of the applications and solutions you can apply to water treatment as well. So if we can solve the energy crisis, for instance, that means we also lower the cost of desalination and make it more sustainable for us. So it's quite interlinked with that. And also the current level kind of technologies that are used as well, the fact that most of it is imported and not produced locally, that makes it quite expensive as well. And so if we could have local solutions as well available, because a lot of desalination is done through reverse osmosis. And so just imagine this is like a filter. Imagine a gravity filter, right? Mm-hmm. You pour water at the top. It comes through a membrane. Big particles stay out. Yeah. Only small particles pass through. So that's what reverse osmosis is. So just excluding all those ions and only allowing water to pass through. So if we can find... if you can lower the cost to do that, then it becomes more sustainable. So currently, it's much cheaper to dig a borehole and use borehole water than to actually perform desalination.
But how sustainable is that? I mean, how sustainable is... If everybody could dig a borehole, I mean, would we have enough water? Is that what they call aqua... What? Aqua...
Like a water table.
Yeah, I mean, would there be enough water for everywhere if everybody could have a borehole? Would that be sustainable?
Not necessarily. In some areas, yes, but in some areas, you just like how water is not evenly distributed across South Africa.
Of course.
So some areas have more water than others. So there is a need, obviously, to move water now from one space where there is more to where there is less water. And as you touched on earlier, so we have poor infrastructure and poor maintenance of that infrastructure. So that also puts the frustration as well on the system as well.
Yeah.
So in terms of sustainability, long term, if we're able to address the energy crisis, I think that will go a long way into actually.
Okay, I want to push you a little bit more, Leslie.
Yes.
So we don't have a solution for our energy crisis, because I'm really looking for the innovator now in Leslie. I'm digging deep. I'm going. Are there ideas that you're toying around with?
Yes.
That go beyond our dependence on the energy, at least as we currently get it. I was talking to a good friend of mine, by the way, who is in the mining sector, right? Mm. A very senior gentleman in the mining sector who now is really exploring alternative energy solutions precisely because of the reasons that you've talked about now.
Mm.
And one of the things he said to me was, Aubrey, do you know how much water the mines actually generate?
Mm.
Why is it that we are not seeing that there are some sort of conversations between generate? This water is water that's created by the processes of mining.
Mm.
Water that wasn't there, then it is there. In other words, it's not water that's cleaned up. It's not water that was there that they cleaned up. No, but because of the chemical, and you'd probably be in a better position to explain this to me, but because of the chemical processes in the mining process, water is a byproduct of some of those. But it's like gallons of this stuff. And he was saying to me, he doesn't understand why we haven't had a conversation about the fact that South Africa's main source of revenue still comes from the mining sector, and mines produce untold amounts of water.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about the fact that we have an energy crisis in our country. But surely chemists and physicists such as yourself are toying with ideas that would be able to help us deal with this crisis effectively, sustainably, and definitively, regardless of what the politicians tell us about how power is in short supply and all the stuff that we hear all the time.
Yeah.
Are you guys at a scientific level playing around with ideas that could give me hope today?
Oh yes, there is plenty that is going on, and so some of my actual favorite projects that already happening in South Africa from other businesses these companies that are literally extracting water from the air and making tons of it. They've improved the efficiency of that process. And I'm aware of companies as well that are implementing bioremediation and chemical remediation to treat particularly water, wastewater from the mines. And of course, there's still limitations because the scale at which those technologies are being applied,
yeah.
most of them are still in the R&D development phase.
Yeah.
And, you know, the process from getting there to actually getting it into the market, it's it can take a while. But there's plenty that is going on in this space. And I'm very hopeful that in the next at least 5 to 10 years, we will probably be having a different conversation with regards to where some of our water is coming. And one of the things I'm quite happy about is the recycling of water that's already happening, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's quite a very good thing that we water, it gets treated, the sewage gets treated, all the waste gets removed. The water is then treated again with reverse membranes, and then it gets back again into our taps again. And already, especially Cape Town, because I'm based in Cape Town, they are doing that very efficiently. And so it's something to say, if this could be done across the country with such efficiency, there is definitely hope for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things that I find very, very promising and encouraging is recent developments with your former country, Zimbabwe, where you were born, and South Africa, where there is cooperation around the making of water available, particularly for Messina.
Oh yes,
and I'm finding that to be an encouraging sign in terms of cooperation. That kind of cooperation has always been there between South Africa and Mozambique, Lesotho, and so forth.
Yes.
But I'm hoping that that kind of relationship between your country now, South Africa, your former country, Zimbabwe, and all of these other countries is going to develop a new impetus for finding solutions that are of Africa, that are in Africa, for Africans in Africa.
Yes.
Because one of the big problems is that we've been insulated from each other for whatever reasons, and we couldn't tap into each other's innovation and ability to come up with solutions that are known by us, that are for us. One of the big problems has been that whatever solutions that we've had were for the big organizations, usually the mining companies, but that we're here for extractionist purposes, not necessarily for development purposes. And and I'm hoping that as you come up, because I think your solution is a developmental kind of idea that wants to serve industry, that wants to serve households.
Yes.
I'm hoping that the accent of solution finding is one that is going to be quintessentially for African problems. You know?
I completely agree with you, Aubrey. I completely agree with you. The only way we are going to be able to dig out ourselves out of this hole is only going to be through collaboration and through coming up with our own solution for our own, putting ourselves first, you know, and not profits and, you know, all these other things forward, but putting the people first.
Yep.
So definitely, if more people could come to the table and design solutions for Africa, with Africa in mind, and developing Africa specifically, I think we will make a lot of progress if we go through that route.
I say this because many of the innovations that have come out of Africa weren't necessarily for Africa.
True.
Right?
So
it's great to see that we're beginning to see innovation at a very, very senior scientific level that are solving, that are solving South African and African problems in general. How are you finding funding for all of this?
So I've been very fortunate to be funded by a number of organizations. And currently now, I just received an award from the Technology Innovation Agency, a grant award of $130,000.
Yay, man! Hey, I might be in the wrong business here, man.
You must join me, Ove. You must join me in the water space.
Yeah.
And also being so one of the avenues I realized, because I wanted to make our solutions accessible to everybody. So I've been fortunate enough to be part of the Takealot first accelerator program that they had last year. And that also had a very positive impact on us. It allowed us to reach into the market better. And they were very kind enough to actually give us a grant as well to help with some of our laboratory development equipment that we needed. So it's been quite helpful to have different agencies to support us and in our growth, in our process.
Are you starting to, I suppose, at an entrepreneurial level, are you starting to see or reap the benefits of a product that has now gone to market?
Yes.
Hey, Leslie, are you making money?
not there yet. but at least the one thing I'm very happy about is when I have clients that come to me and say, Leslie, my friend told me this, my business partner taught me this, knowing the value that there is a solution that they can use. So for me, that has been the biggest impact. And so one of the projects that we've also done as well, just to help our community in Cape Town, you know how sometimes we have springs that people can access?
Yes.
And the government doesn't monitor those, right?
Yeah.
So we have a project where we monitor monthly the water quality, particularly of Newland Springs, right?
Yeah.
So that, having that impact on people, knowing that they're drinking safe water, or if it's not safe, for instance, end of February, we found that there was coliform bacteria beyond the recommended limits. So being able to warn people so that they can protect themselves, and that itself is, I would say, is the biggest benefit I've been getting so far, knowing that I'm making an impact in people's lives and people are having access to safe water.
Yeah. One of the reasons why innovation that solves Africa's problems is not always very profitable is because the people that must benefit from it are usually very poor.
Yes.
And so what that requires is intervention from corporates, from big companies, and very many of them are from other parts of the world. Although we are blessed in South Africa to have companies that are caring, that are involved in many initiatives of a developmental nature here in South Africa. But of course, not enough, right? Because our problems are big.
Yes.
When you and I can hear the excitement in your voice when you speak of the fact that there's a solution that helps the poor. Right. But when a problem is of the poor, the profits are like the poor.
Yes, that's true.
How do you deal with that?
So, you know, to some extent, one tactic or strategy I've been using is rob the rich, so that the poor can benefit.
we have our own Robin Hood here, right?
Yes. So at the moment, that's how we've been able to provide some free testing, because we have some communities that we've done free testing for when they're worried that their water quality is not safe. So what we do is the profits that we generate from those we can afford, we then use some of those profits now to support communities that don't have the means to be able to afford it themselves. But long term, what our goal is actually to partner with corporates and different institutions that can actually support us to be able to provide free water testing across the country in all marginalized and vulnerable communities.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
So we are hoping to build partnerships that are long term and so that we can help our people, you know. Yeah. And protect
sure.
our people.
Sure. Mm. I was in Cape Town about a month ago.
Mm.
And I was very impressed with what I saw in the city. I saw people, you know, abseiling and some people canoeing in the middle of the city. And I thought to myself, what? Am I in Venice? What's going on here? Am I in Cape Town or am I in Venice? And it appears that Cape Town has become very, very innovative about how they deal with the looming water crisis to the point. And in fact, I was having a conversation with an expert on our looming water crisis, who says if we can take some leaves out of what is being done in Cape Town and begin to apply some of those ideas and innovations in other parts of South Africa, we might, notwithstanding all of our challenges, be able to deal with the water crisis. Do you think that is a true statement?
I think that's very true. Cape Town has been a successful case study. So even if you look at, I don't know if you're aware of the Blue Drop Report, it basically explains the state of quality, the performance of municipalities in supplying water.
Yes.
And when you look at the water quality in Cape Town, it's excellent. And they have a percentage of over 90% where the water quality is good. Yeah, and yet the country's average, you know, it's way, way much lower than that, you know. So if people could copy what's happening in Cape Town and replicate it, there's going to be a drastic change across the country, especially with regards to how your local municipalities are run. They have a lot to learn from Cape Town.
So hopefully that our political egos don't get in our way, right? I'm really hoping that our political egos don't get in our way, and we take what we can from wherever we can to solve our problems. The many problems that we have. I started off by saying that people such as yourself, Leslie, South Africans who are doing great things, are the light that keeps us hopeful, that keeps hope burning in our hearts. And part of that is because of the fact that you have not given up on your vision. I'm sure that a young woman, a young black woman doing things like you do, gets all sorts of offers from big companies and so forth. What keeps you staying with the chemistry solutions? I'm sure there's corporates that could pay you far more money than what you're making at the moment.
Most definitely.
Why do you stay with this vision?
You know, if no one does what I'm doing, who else is going to do it? So it's quite important for me that there be options that people have, solutions that people have available. So I don't mind paying the price that I'm paying at the moment. But I know long term, I have a dream for South Africa. I have a dream for the rest of Africa. And we need to change our lives. And if we don't do it ourselves, who else is going to do it for us?
Somebody said to me once that the elders, the people that came before us, the ancestors, if you want, had both dreams and nightmares. Right? And the dreams were of the people that you are, the Leslie Mugwadas that that have stayed the course, that are finding solutions, that are showing us the way. And then, of course, there is the nightmare that our ancestors had. And that depending on which of those we feed, I think it's a Native American saying that says two wolves are fighting in us. One is a wolf of prosperity and one is a wolf of negativity and lack. And the guy says, which one do you think wins? And the young man he was speaking to says, I don't know. And he responds by saying, the one that you feed the most. And I'm hoping that the dream that you are, the dream of our ancestors that you have become, you've manifested, you are the manifestation of their dream. You are their wildest dream having come true, because you are not only using your talents for finding solutions for the people of this country and the people of this continent, but you're doing it in the presence of other options that you would be very, very justified to take. That, I think, books us a place 10,000 years from now. Your choices, your hard work, your innovation, your sacrifice is literally making sure that we are present 10,000 years from now. Because if you don't do that, as you said, we might not be here in 5 years' time.
No, that's true.
So I'm hoping that you continue to work hard, Leslie, and you continue to have the conversations, you continue to do the work that you're doing so that we can find those very difficult solutions that we need. And as I stand up to salute you and say thank you for your work, I want to say to you that you make us proud to call ourselves South African. You make us proud to call ourselves African. You make us proud to call ourselves a generation that is finding solutions rather than being the problem for which solutions must be found. I want to thank you very much for the work that you're doing. How do people find your product? And how do people assist you if they want to assist you?
Oh, thank you so much, Aubrey, for that. I really appreciate that. You can find our products basically everywhere. We're on Take A Lot, we're on Macro, we're on Beat or Buy, we're on Faithful to Nature. You can also find us on our website as well. And if you want to help us support marginalized and vulnerable communities. If you can afford, put money towards these vulnerable communities, towards water treatment solutions, towards water testing solutions, because water is a right for everybody. You know, it's not a luxury. And yet, currently, some people don't have the same right that we all have, you know. So if people could, I want to invite them to come on board and to practice sustainable water practices, prevent, if they can prevent their pollution and reduce their pollution, I would love to encourage them to do so. And, so for me, it's quite important that people know that they need to give back to the vulnerable and marginalized communities.
How do people find you?
You can find us on Facebook. We are the Chemistry Solutions Company. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, also on our website.